Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I am Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine. We're continuing our series talking about the American development model and the various ladders of development that lead in hopefully making not only better players, but players for life. And once again, we are joined by Scott Pollock, who is an ADM regional manager. Scott comes to USA Hockey after 7 years as the head coach of Bowling Green State University, his alma mater. And this October, Scott will be inducted into the Bowling Green Hall of Fame. Anyway, Scott, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Oh, no problem here. Glad to be here.
Scott, last time we were talking about, you know, the moving up the ladder and now talking about squirt hockey 10 and under and what is known as the golden age of motor skill coordination and skill acquisition. And I wanted to, we were talking a little bit about how squirts start playing full ice hockey at this point. And one of the things that you said, and I think it bears repeating, is talking about the importance of station-based practices. Just because you have a squirt team and you're now playing full ice hockey, that doesn't mean it's just one team on the ice for a practice, does it?
No, absolutely not. And again, I think, again, one of our main focuses is to get players on the ice and doing the right thing as much as possible. That's why we're, you know, really emphasizing it, 3-1 practice, beginners version, to get that. Get that practice activity, get the proper practice content going. And one of the ways we're going to achieve this is by getting multiple teams on the ice and putting them in the right practice environment. And that is clearly, obviously, in a lot of the 8-and-under practices, you will see 6 stations. You know, in a sport practice, you may see 6, but you can also see 4 or 5 practices, depending on exactly what you're looking to accomplish, as well as the number of players out there. But clearly, we're talking about getting multiple teams on the ice at both the squirt and Pee Wee level so that players can achieve this ratio and also just to be around a proper practice environment more often.
Now, some parents may say, well, you know, hey, it might hockey, the kids are little, you know, so you can fit more of them on the ice. Well, you know, at squirts and peewees, you start, you know, the kids start growing like weeds. In your opinion, how many kids can be on the ice, let's say, for a good station-based practice at squirts?
Well, there's no doubt. We've done outstanding practices with a lot of kids. I mean, 35 to 45 kids for squirt level is very obtainable and gives a lot of players maximum opportunity to work on those skills. Again, keeping in mind here, for all the coaches and for all the parents, this is the referred to, again, the golden age of skill acquisition. This learning the training stage is all about skill development and skill acquisition. So we want our players out there in that environment as much as possible, and more players, all of our players being out there to work on the things that are important at this time, and that is working on their skills.
And I noticed that in a lot of the ADM literature, which, by the way, anybody out there, I mean, there is tons of ADM literature. These guys have done a great job of promoting and getting all the information out there. So you can go to admkids.com for just all sorts of information. And so hopefully people will take advantage of that. But one of the things, Scott, I was looking at is just really talking about working on your skating skills and your puck skills at the same time. So could you talk a little bit about those kind of things and how they fit in with a station-based practice?
Well, I think it fits it perfectly, isn't it? You have the opportunity to really work the motor skills and the technical skills of the game. We can have players specifically with some outstanding demonstrations that they need down the training stage to show them in how they can perform skating movement as well as how that works with handling the puck and the coordination that goes along with it. This is just the perfect time for our athletes to be working on those coordination skills and getting the body comfortable in all hockey-related movement. And we can do that. We can break these stations down, get players hopping on skates, handling the puck at the same time, and really taking advantage of this time frame by not rushing through, but by really slowing things down and giving the opportunity with a tremendous amount of reps to work on body to movement and puck related, and with combination of technical skills in our game all at once by just, once again, a lot of reps at a time where it's really important.
And so, like, one of the things we were talking about last time is a roster size. I mean, what is an ideal roster size for a squirt team?
11 to 13 players and 1 or 2 goalies here is what we're looking for. And, again, The reason for this is we're not looking to eliminate any players. What we're doing is to create more teams with manageable rosters. Not taking anybody off the ice for practicing, but once again, multiple teams practicing together so that they're getting the practice-to-games ratio that's really important so they can really work on these skills at this time. But when they do get in the game, we're looking for more reps in the game as well. So we know that there's obviously smaller periods than we have for our older player that they scored in the Pee Wee level. So when they get out there, we want them to be able to get more shifts and to take what they're learning in practice and to apply that in the game. And you'll see the confidence level really soar by players getting out there more and doing good things in a game.
You know, one thing that, and I know you're – primary mission is helping to raise the bar of the skills and of players in the United States. But it also seems to me that if you have a station-based practice where you're having 45 kids on the ice, potentially you're also keeping costs down for parents, which I imagine would be a good thing.
Well, ideally. I mean, we're getting more players on the ice, obviously, so that we're going to have that cost per player certainly come down. But when you combine that with the fact that you're actually doing the most beneficial thing you can for your child or your athletes, well, what a great thing it is. And when we get that environment again here, we can get players in a station-based skill acquisition format as well as with the combination of lots of small area games and practice. We're not only providing an element, lots of skills, but again, the decision-making that goes along with the skills of creating a player with a much larger, we like to refer to as hockey IQ, hockey intelligence, hockey awareness. Those are really important things to take advantage of. Letting the players figure out how to play the game on their own. Not because they're told to go somewhere, but because they understand the puck skills, the puck studies, they know where pucks are going to go, they have the instincts, because they figured it out on their own, because they've been put in that environment and practice, whether it be in stations or in small area games. Once again, I keep coming back to this, at an age where it's really, really important.
You know, Scott, we talk a lot about, the skill development at this point, but also one of the phrases struck me in reading some of the literature is athletes first, hockey players second, or it says then hockey players. And so I guess one of the things I wanted to just kind of wrap this podcast up with is talking about the importance of off-ice training and what kind of things you as a coach would be wanting to work with your squirt players on off-ice, whether it's in a field or a gym or wherever.
We're stressing this important topic here. We refer to, again, the squirt and Pee Wee level, 10U, 12U, the learning to train stage, and that is the, once again, we keep referring to golden age of skill acquisition. What everyone has to keep in mind is this is long-term athlete development, not just a sport of hockey. But we're trying to get across is all of these playing multiple sports at this age group or doing the off-ice training, which is basically going to be a combination of athletic skills, of agility, balance, coordination, bouncing, catching, throwing, all these types of things. It's a skill acquisition. It's athletic skill acquisition. So we're trying to get the off-ice to really go hand-in-hand with creating a more athletic hockey player. So all of the, the balance, the active balancing, the active, a lot of agility, bouncing, you can create a lot of stick handling, puck handling, shooting exercises off ice as well. But all these things, whether it be the coordination of providing balance with catching, the balance with throwing, different movements, these are all things that create a healthier hockey environment because we're becoming a much more athletic culture.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, not to stir up a hornet's nest, but it's, you think about like when we were kids, the amount of time we spent outside, the amount of recess and gym classes that we had, it sounds like, there's not as much of that, going on for kids today. So this provides them with that opportunity to just get outside and just, run and jump and tumble and all those kind of things that we did as kids.
Well, it's such an important piece there, Harry. We have lost that physical education culture. We're losing it in some of the schools. And we can provide that opportunity as a hockey coach. We can get players off ice before or after practice doing some just vital athletic movements that just not only help them from an athletic sense, but just a total feeling of good health and good body. It's just going to be, it's extremely beneficial for our entire hockey community.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Well, we are going to wrap it up. That's about all the time we have for right now. But we'll be definitely back at some point talking with Scott Pollock as well as all the other ADM regional managers. So, Scott, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us today.
Well, Harry, no problem. Anytime.
And tune in next time. We'll be addressing another facet of the American development model. So thanks again for listening and have a good day.